Week three, Nebraska will go to Evanston to take on a Northwestern team with a brand new offensive coordinator against a very, very bad football team in Maryland. Northwestern rolled up 537 yards of offense. So week three, Nebraska's at Northwestern. When you play at Ryan Field, it's got to be an 11 a.m. kick. And that's what it's going to be on BTN in week three, is Nebraska and Northwestern at 11 a.m. This weekend is 2:30 FS1 for Nebraska and Wisconsin. We welcome in Mike Schaefer. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Can you have your producer see if he can turn your volume up a little bit? You're pretty soft.
Matt's got big... There we go. Is that better?
Yeah, a lot better.
Matt's got big shoes to fill with George. So I asked this question and got an email that I read right before we brought you on, Schaefer. If anything that happened on Saturday changed your opinion about the season moving forward, the next seven games. And Mark so kindly emailed in, and he had 4-4 going in. But what he saw were some of the same things that have ailed Nebraska in the past. I think this was a mixed bag on Saturday. There was some good. There was some bad. There really wasn't a lot of ugly. But there was some promise, which is still weird to say when you lose by 5 touchdowns. I don't think the bar is super high right now, but I think this is a year where the bar can inch up. What were your initial takeaways that maybe on the second go-around of watching the game or breaking it down in your head, you changed your opinion on?
Yeah, I think that I generally agree with your assessment of it. I would say that I left Saturday's game, not that I was at it, I left Saturday's game basically feeling a little bit better about where Nebraska was situated with some things, and it confirmed my fears, particularly with the wide receivers. And so, we'll see going forward against teams that aren't Ohio State. Nebraska's secondary didn't play well, but I think they were sort of put in positions where they were trying to keep Ohio State from going over the top on them and really wanted to force drives. And frankly, I mean, as much as people want to be upset, I think Nebraska had, what, 4 stops against an Ohio State team that they haven't had that many stops against Ohio State generally over any course of time. And so it was a little bit better. I thought both trenches, offensive line, defensive line, played really well. I think Nebraska's game plan was sort of interesting. With how many touches Luke McCaffrey got, I'm curious what that looks like going forward and if that really comes at the expense of Dedrick Mills and Wandale Robinson the way that it did in week one. But some of it is I didn't feel like Nebraska had the ball that much. They either went on these drives where they were able to move down and they scored touchdowns or they had that one field goal or they had some three and outs. And so they just it's sort of a weird box score game because they averaged, I think, 6.7 yards per play, and it looked like they moved the ball well, but then they didn't have the ball that much. So there's a lot to be learned still, but I just felt like what I did see, I was pretty content with how Nebraska played on Saturday, and I think that they're still the 4 or 5 win team that I thought they were going to be coming into it.
You know, there's always going to be talk about quarterbacks, and this year it's quarterbacks. There's part of me that thinks that the amount, the volume that they used Martinez and McCaffrey on the field at the same time will not be at that level moving forward. That was the first game, wanted to make it a challenge for Ohio State. And it was for a good part of that game with Ohio State trying to figure out what they were going to do. I thought also in the passing game, because they didn't really have any explosive guys downfield and they didn't want to throw the ball downfield, it was a very high percentage safe passing game. With that said, the same guy that started at quarterback will start at quarterback on Saturday. But what do you think Luke McCaffrey's role will be moving forward?
I think that we're going to see him, as you sort of said, to a little bit less of a degree that we did against Ohio State. I do think that that was largely how they felt like their best option in staying in that game was to utilize Luke McCaffrey's skill. I mean, they ran him at running back. They used him at wide receiver. They used him on quarterback blasts and quarterback draws and in the zone read. And so they did a bunch of different things. I would imagine you'll see that scaled down somewhat against a Wisconsin team where I think Nebraska also needs to be able to prove that it can line up and run with Dedrick Mills. That was the one thing I did not fully understand at times when it felt like they had those three and out drives. It was often they got behind schedule, or they simply, they didn't really use Mills effectively, or you had that second and one that became second and six. And then, that was early in the second drive of the game because of the false start. So I think for me, a lot of this Wisconsin game, I just want to see what the shift looks like for Matt Lubick and Scott Frost. And, you know, with the receivers, that's going to have to take care of itself. I don't know if it's magically going to get any better at any point this season, but they're going to need some of those guys to make plays.
Let's start with running back. And I think you and I were texting back and forth. The offensive line shows that there is some depth, there is some talent. Farniok's got to play better at guard. But across the board, that's a good offensive line that you would love to live on being able to carry 6 yards per carry. But at the end of the day, where do you think Dedrick Mills fell in the game plan? I know they didn't have a ton of offensive snaps, but there's no way that we could have projected him only carrying the ball 9 times.
Yeah, I think they kind of fell in love with the Luke McCaffrey quarterback run game a little bit there. And look, that's one of the things that I feel like this coaching staff has done a poor job of, which is finding balance on their offense. You know, last year it was they fell in love with Wandale Robinson, and Dedrick Mills just falls off entirely. At the end of the year, they're in love with Dedrick Mills, and he gets a million touches in the final 3 games. It's like, how are they not able to somehow work in some sort of balance? I mean, you look at all of the weapons that Ohio State has, and they still managed to get plenty of carries for their 2 running backs plus Justin Fields. Like, it can be done. It just feels like Nebraska really likes to target one player in their game plan and then just do that repeatedly. I think that's one of those things that I would hope that Matt Lubick can help Scott Frost clean up a little bit, because they were so varied at UCF. And I understand different defense, you know, different conference, different opponents, but it just feels like they get into this mode where you kind of let guys fall by the wayside because it just becomes so dependent on one or two players. And they really can't afford to do that this season. And Mills needs to be one of those guys that gets a lot of work, because you can grind down games, you can grind up clock, and you can chew up yards. And with that offensive line, you know, I don't think they're going to face a lot of defensive lines that are as good as Ohio State, or at least from a talent perspective. So I would think Nebraska has a pretty strong advantage moving forward with its offensive line. They got to really lean into that.
So now let's shift, as we've all kind of focused on the passing game. You know, last year, even Nebraska was not, you know, real explosive in wanting to throw the ball downfield. It didn't happen a lot during the course of a game. And Saturday was more of a controlled passing game. You didn't have any explosive plays. You didn't really get Wandale going. I think that the commitment to the tight end is real. That's an important part of this offense. It's unfortunate. It looks like Jack Stoll might be out for a while, or at least out for the year. Austin Allen is the next guy up. So I think you can get something out of the tight end room, and that's going to be real. But let's be honest, Schaaf, what's going on in the wide receiver room? Because there is some young guys there that have the downfield threat and they have the speed, but there's something that's going on that they don't trust yet to put them on the field. They can't go a week, another week, another week after that with this current collection of wide receivers, right?
No, I don't think they can, but look, I mean, we're in the third straight year of Nebraska's just refusing to play young wide receivers at their own expense. And so I don't know why Alonte Brown couldn't get on the field until the end of last week's game. I don't know. You know, I don't want to take shots at Cade Warner and Wyatt Lure, but we've talked on this show, like, when those are the receivers that guys are talking about in fall camp, my radar goes off immediately. Mm-hmm. That's a big uh-oh. And look, Adrian Martinez threw a pass that was probably a little too hard in that situation. I still feel like Cade Warner needs to make that catch. That's why he's on the field. Wyatt Lure can't jump off sides on a second and one against Ohio State. Those guys have such a small margin for error, and they each had a moment where it was like, well, this is why Nebraska has to be better at wide receivers. And for 3 straight recruiting classes, they've emphasized trying to go out guys that can stretch the field with speed and everything, and they never play. What is Damarian Houston or Jamie Nance not able to do in practice that you saw them do on high school film, yet they come to Lincoln and they can't even get on the field? I get, you know, Alonte Brown, Marcus Fleming, it's their first game. It's hard to have expectations for when those guys are going to play. Same with Xavier Betts. But, you know, if you're Jamie Nance and Damarian Houston, and you already went through one entire year of working out and building yourself up for this opportunity. And I think Jamie Nance even enrolled early. I mean, it does not look great for you guys if you're not able to get on the field against Ohio State. And this is a pretty depleted wide receiver room. And I know there's help on the way with three new freshmen, but at some point the staff is going to have to be willing to play these young guys. Or they're just not going to – they're basically going to be punting on the wide receiver position, which 3 years into this program is impossible to me that they are here, but that's where they are. It's been a collection of haven't gotten the right guys. Guys didn't qualify grade-wise. Guys came in and were worse than you expected. You haven't developed the wide receivers. It's just remarkable how poor they are at that position as we're in their second week of Big Ten play right now.
Well, and Marcus Fleming being on IG Live 30 minutes before kickoff probably did not help his cause to get on the field on Saturday. I got some growing up to do in that room because I would think if I looked at the wide receivers this weekend and I wasn't one of them, I got a great chance to play because wide receivers had 8 receptions. 6 of them went to number one. There's an opportunity to get on the field. You got to find out why you can't get on the field. Let's shift over to the defensive side of the football. We were ready for Ty Robinson. I think we got a nice little glimpse of what Ty Robinson can be. But what were your thoughts on the play of Casey Rogers, who, you know, we knew, but I don't think we knew to the extent that he would play as well as he did on Saturday, in my opinion.
Yeah, look, I think the big takeaway in the positive besides the offensive line is Nebraska's defensive line looked as good as they have all, you know, the whole Frost era in that Saturday against Ohio State. I mean, you had Ben Stille was really active. Casey Rogers was really active. He did everything right on that fourth down, gets a hand on the ball, and somehow it still magically goes perfectly to that wide receiver from Ohio State, which just tells you how Nebraska's luck is just never quite the way that you think it should be. And yeah, I thought that Ty Robinson played well. I mean, I just felt like they were disruptive up front. Damian Daniels had some nice moments as well. I think he actually ended up having a sack of Fields that wasn't called correctly on the field that led to a big play. So, I mean, I thought the defensive line played pretty well against a returning group from Ohio State. I think 3 out of their 5 starters were back. They struggled in protection for a quarterback as athletic as Justin Fields last year. And so I think Nebraska getting those sacks to start is good, but I wouldn't, you know, they had 3 sacks to Justin Fields last year too, but the tackles for loss, I mean, they did a nice job. Yep. I thought the linebackers were really active. Really the front 7 played much better than I think people would have expected. And you would have thought the defense would have done better overall, but that's just the challenge that Ohio State presents.
Yeah, and I think in Columbus, they're wondering, what happened to the – why can't we run the football? We have a NFL offensive line. We have 2 talented running backs. And we're saying, you know what, Nebraska's front 7 played pretty well. I also think Nebraska had a nice scheme for it. There were a lot of times where they only had 2 defensive linemen in there. You would see some of the outside linebackers creep up, and they would actually put their hand in the dirt. They need more consistent pressure, but – I thought Tanner and Payne at moments played really, really well. I thought it was, in the front 7, it was a really good, solid game plan. But what happened in the back end, you think, against Ohio State, that it turned into, at times, a 7-on-7 game for Justin Fields?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, the easiest way to describe what we saw Saturday is when Nebraska got to play forward, they handled Ohio State pretty well. When Nebraska had to play back, in particular, when your linebacker, Colin Miller, is forforced to cover somebody for close to 5.5 seconds, it's not going to go particularly well. And when you got the receiver talent that Ohio State does, it's going to go even worse. And so Nebraska's, you know, secondary was asked to cover a lot. And they did pretty well considering at times that the pressure wasn't on field the whole lot. I mean, he had a lot of time to sit back there and throw. And they picked apart zone. They picked apart man. You know, it looked like to me and my untrained eye, Nebraska had some cover 3 going, and they just didn't have guys in the drop zone a little bit. So they're definitely going to have to clean up that coverage, especially, I don't know what's going to happen with Graham Mertz, but Wisconsin's a passing team now. I don't know if you saw that on Friday night, but, it's not going to get any easier for them just because Justin Fields and these receivers are going away. Individual talent-wise, yeah, it's going to get a little bit easier, but Nebraska needs a lot more out of its secondary starting this week.
Is there any way, and I've used, I think I shocked Damon when I put this in his head. So the fumbles are an issue. Mitch Sherman had a great little nugget today in his athletic column. In the Scott Frost era, Nebraska's fumbled the ball 58 times. Adrian Martinez, 21 fumbles. He's lost 10 of them. When you're the quarterback and you run this kind of offense, that can happen. But still, guys get fired when other people put the ball on the carpet. There's the penalties that continue to plague Nebraska. Not just Saturday and questionable ones around targeting calls, but too many penalties and turnovers, I think, is a DNA thing of this program, that the margin for error is so small, Shafe, they're not able to overcome that. Am I off base here, or is there something that, man, this is gonna plague Nebraska for a while?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. And look, we spent the last 2 years talking about culture and buy-in, and we can't do that anymore. I mean, it has nothing to do with the fact that your wide receiver jumps off sides on second and one, or your third-year starting quarterback still, when fighting for extra yards inside, you know, the box, isn't tucking it away with two hands with the ball. And Luke McCaffrey did that. They had the exact same fumble. They were fighting for extra yards. And when you run your quarterback as much as Nebraska does, and they don't run the same way that running backs do with how they're covering the ball, you're going to leave yourself open for those fumbles. And it just, you're right. It does feel like there's something in this program where they're undisciplined. They're just not, and that's unfortunate because it does cap their upset. Mm-hmm. They're just incapable at times of staying out of their own way. And it's little stuff like penalties. It's little stuff like it's 17-14, you get the ball back, you have an opportunity to go make a drive, and immediately you're off schedule.
Yeah.
If they just, I don't know what it is. It has nothing to do with Mike Riley, Bo Pelini, Frank Solich, Tom Osborne. You know, it's 100% Scott Frost and Scott Frost's program at this point. And if they can't get better from it, then we need to start figuring out why they're incapable of avoiding these mistakes. And, you know, we can go conspiracy theory that the Big Ten is always hunting for Nebraska on this, but that has nothing to do with the fumbles or lining up, you know, with a false start or some of the holding penalties. I mean, they're just the lackadaisical nature with some of these things. We were pretty forgiving early on. We can't be anymore. It sort of is who this program is until they prove otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's why love that it's back and we're having these discussions, but it was so mixed on Saturday because for 25 minutes, you could see that things had changed. And then it just, you know, after that, it was 38-3. There was that 4 minutes at the end of the first half, 4 minutes at the start of the second half. They went, man, this looks all too familiar. And after that, the game was over. I think, and again, this shows where the program is still in its infancy, is we're talking about, man, they hung in there, didn't hang their head, and they kept slugging it out. Compared to past times against Ohio State, that's definitely a promise. Now, with that said, doesn't this weekend, whether Mertz plays or not, and you feel good after a 5-touchdown loss about some of the things you did, you can't lay an egg on Saturday. You have to come out and be at that same level and fix some of those little mistakes that ailed you on Saturday, or we're back to, I guess, square one.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, the spread if Mertz plays, I think, was at 9, and that felt high to me. I feel like this should be a one-score game if you're in Nebraska. You should be in this game the entire way. Nothing about Wisconsin that I saw on Friday night makes me think that they're significantly better than Nebraska. They have their own issues moving the ball and skill position-wise. Their wide receivers aren't anywhere near the class of what we saw from Ohio State on Saturday. And so Nebraska should be in this game. They should be able to move the ball offensively. If they can stay out of their own way, they should be able to do things on both the defensive side of the ball and, offensively as well. And like, this is where this team has turtled multiple times in the past. Like, this is a game coming in on Saturday where I think it's as even as we've seen between Nebraska and Wisconsin. I know Vegas doesn't agree, but I really believe these are even teams. But one program doesn't get in its own way and the other one can't help but to. And so if Nebraska does it again and they have these stupid turnovers or these dumb, costly penalties, then it's just going to be another mark that they sort of are who they are. And that's going to be really concerning. I don't want to put everything on this game, but if Nebraska is getting blown out or if they, you know, give this one away with just bad play call, bad discipline, it's going to really hurt them going forward. This is the kind of game that could beat them multiple times over.
Yeah,
they need to come out and play well this week.
I agree. And after seeing what Nebraska did on their front seven and how poor Wisconsin was trying to run the ball against an Illinois defense, especially a defensive line that was replacing four starters. I mean, there's some definite encouragement there. One quick thing on Wisconsin, I'm going to ask you something about the Big Ten. How surprised are you that the Graham Mertz results got out?
A little surprised. You know, that kind of stuff they try to keep under wraps as much as possible. I don't know if we've seen, like, is he one of the most notable players that's tested positive in the college football landscape, because we haven't had that many names come out that early in a game week. So, you know, it's going to be really interesting how the Big Ten and how Wisconsin handles this, because the rumors are that it's far more than just Graham Mertz. And so then you get into whatever the threshold is for the conference. And let's say it is Graham Mertz and it holds up with the PCR test. He's out for 2 weeks minimum.
Three.
Well, yeah, but I don't know when that test would count. So if it was like a Saturday morning test, would he be available that third week on the 21st day, I guess, is sort of what I'm getting at. But, yeah, I mean, it's a huge, huge moment right off the bat for the Big Ten, their testing system, and what standards they put in place. And then certainly Paul Chryst wasn't in any mood to talk about it today.
No, and it comes on the heels of Graham Mertz being the offensive player of the week in the conference. Did I see... It was great to have the Big Ten back, and we had some crazy games. Are we seeing a and just remind me that it's week one. Are we seeing a Big Ten quarterback renaissance? You already know about Justin Fields. Graham Mertz seems okay for his first start. Now, they didn't ask him to do a ton, but still, he played pitch and catch. He was 20 of 21. And then there's Joe Milton at Michigan. You've got Tanner Morgan, who I think will bounce back at Minnesota, and you still got Sean Clifford at Penn State. Are we crazy to say, oh my gosh, the Big Ten may actually have quarterbacks, which is usually pretty rare?
Yeah, you still got the former teammates of Peyton Ramsey and Michael Penix, and Spencer Petras and Aiden O'Connell played fine on Saturday. Yeah, I think the conference has it had kind of a down run of quarterbacks a little bit, and I do think that the quarterback quality is going up. I think the quality in the Big Ten in general is just better. I thought that Iowa-Purdue game was really sort of an interesting contest on Saturday, and Indiana-Penn State was too. And there's not a whole lot that separates an Indiana team that none of us really pay any attention to with a Penn State team that people had in the top 10. So I think the conference as a whole is on the way up, and quarterbacks are a big part of that. I really do feel like the Big Ten has really stepped its game up. I know the gap between Ohio State and everybody else feels enormous, but that middle has shrunk. Or I guess you could say that it's gotten huge, because it feels like just about everybody's in it, except for Maryland at this point.
Oh, and Michigan State. I think Mel Tucker is, he inherited a massive hole in East Lansing.
How were they a 12-point favorite going into that game?
I think we thought that Rutgers would still be terrible. I mean, Greg Schiano, they had a plan. I mean, they came out, last year it took them 9 quarters to score their first point, or their first touchdown in Big Ten, and they scored on their opening drive thanks to Noah Vedral?
Yeah, I mean, Greg Schiano's a good coach. Like, I think that that's going to be a good – obviously, it was a good fit the first time through. I think he's going to do just fine in the Big Ten. Mel Tucker had, you know, like 72 hours with that team before the world shut down, and then he got him back in the summer, and they had guys opting out all over the place, and – they seemed like the program that was least interested in playing football this year. It could be a really, really rough year for Mel Tucker and Michigan State.
Yeah, there's a lot of teams in the West that are checking with the league office today, see if they can get Michigan State on this schedule, maybe an additional game. I said this last week, and I was really surprised that it was about a 2-touchdown favorite for Michigan State. 5 years ago, they were in the playoff. And remember all of the tight games between Nebraska and Michigan State, and you were like, well, you know what? Wouldn't you like to emulate that program because they develop them? Well, now they've had 3 straight years of outside of the top 25 in recruiting. They can't beat their rivals. I mean, Michigan State football has taken a quick pivot to being mediocre from being one of the more respected programs in the league in a quick amount of time. Mel Tucker's going to have – good thing Mel Tucker's got a long contract, because he's going to need it.
Yeah, well, and they're getting a whole lot of Milton on Saturday with Michigan, who looked pretty good. And Minnesota looked exactly like the team I thought they were going to be, by the way. I mean, I think that defense, people were underselling the losses that they sustained there. I think they're going to struggle a little bit this year. It helps that, what do they have, Illinois here this week? And, you know, they can bounce back a little bit with that. But Minnesota is going to take a big step back from last year's team.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the Michigan State, Michigan. Minnesota goes to Maryland on a Friday night. I'm glad you brought up Michigan, Michigan State. Did you ever think you would see a line of Wolverines being a 25-point favorite in that rivalry game?
No, I definitely didn't. And I think that they're going to cover that. And they might cover it pretty easily.
Great stuff, Shafe. I appreciate it as always. We'll talk to you throughout the week, and maybe we'll see you on Saturday.
All right, sounds good. Take care, Gary.
And so Mike Shafer from Husker 24/7, Mike J. Shafer. We may have overlooked Michigan. Granted, Minnesota did not look very good at all. Their defense has got some issues. Now, I think Morgan and Bateman will bounce back. They, of course, had specialists that were missing. P.J. Fleck alluded to it earlier in the week about COVID, but their defense has got some holes. But Michigan might be better than we thought if Joe Milton is everything we thought, because Michigan was physical. They went toe-to-toe with Minnesota, and they were the more physical team in that game. And I really thought on the offensive line, where Michigan lost guys to the NFL, they were really good. They had a good game plan. They looked prepared. They looked really good. That's one of the better performances that Harbaugh has had in 6 years in Ann Arbor. And if that's the case, man, Michigan and Ohio State. I mean, Ohio State wants somebody to challenge them. I don't think it's Penn State this year. This could be the year that Michigan is rightfully in that number two slot. All right, quick break. We'll come back. 2 more hours to go of the Gary Sharp Show on a Football Monday. Roll through some tweets and some emails. And we'll check in with the head coach coming up in about 30 minutes. Plus, we'll roll through the Big Ten, and we'll see what's going on in Wisconsin with Graham Mertz. What's going to happen there? Will Graham Mertz be at quarterback? And is some of the rumblings out of Madison, even though Paul Chris says, nope, 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 no spread on our team. Should we worry about the Nebraska-Wisconsin game this weekend? We're back with more of the Gary Sharp Show after this.